Presenter is Emily Lutterloh from the New York State Department of Health, who's going to be speaking on the emergence of Candida auris in New York State.
Thank you. Candida auris is a multi-drug resistant yeast that was first identified in Japan in 2009 and has been retrospectively identified as far back as 1996. It has rapidly emerged since 2009. It's found now around the world, and it seems to be a case of near simultaneous emergence in multiple locations with some spread. There are multiple reasons we're concerned about this yeast. It's challenging to identify. You have to use either MALDI-TOF or sequencing. It's often multi-drug resistant, usually to fluconazole, and some have been resistant to all three major classes of antifungal medications. It's also transmitted within healthcare facilities. There have been outbreaks in multiple countries. People who are affected by this organism tend to be persistently colonized, and it survives for long periods in the hospital environment. So in New York, we classified our cases as confirmed if Candida auris was identified by a reliable method, and probable for people in whom Candida himalonii was identified from a site indicating invasive infection, and they had an EpiLink, and the yeast identification method used could not reliably identify C. auris, and the isolate was no longer available for further testing. Clinical cases were those in whom the culture was obtained to diagnose or treat disease, and screening cases were those in which the culture was obtained for surveillance purposes. We did a lot of case finding, including advisories to New York healthcare facilities, letting them know that C. auris is reportable as a newly apparent or emerging disease, and asking laboratories to forward suspicious isolates to the New York State Public Health Lab. We also did a lot of direct outreach to healthcare facilities and labs in areas that we thought might be affected. We did chart reviews of cases, focusing on movement through the healthcare system, contact tracing with surveillance cultures, and point prevalence surveys when we suspected transmission. We've also done site visits to facilities where transmission was suspected and environmental cultures. The New York State Public Health Lab Wadsworth Center has done a lot of work for us, including isolate confirmation using MALDI-TOF, culture of primary specimens, both surveillance cultures of people and also environmental cultures, and they've also developed a PCR test. I think they've dealt with literally thousands of specimens by this point. As of May 31st, we had 58 confirmed clinical cases, 27 confirmed screening cases, and 4 probable cases. Here's the epidemiologic curve of our clinical cases. The first one is back in May 2013, which was a retrospectively identified case. We had a few in early 2016, and then it started to grow in the last half of 2016. Here you can see the addition of the screening cases, although the timing of those, of course, is dependent upon when we do our point prevalence surveys. Our clinical cases ranged in age from a 27-day-old premature infant all the way up to 96 years, median of 71 years, about half were female, all had other serious medical conditions, and at least 23 are now deceased. This describes the first positive isolates. A lot were obtained from blood or catheter tips. Also, we've seen a fair number from urine and multiple other sites. All but one of our cases was resistant to fluconazole, and we've seen variable resistant to the other azoles. Most have been resistant to amphotericin B. One case is resistant to the echinocandins. In this particular case, it was initially susceptible and developed resistance during treatment, which is a known treatment challenge. One case also became resistant to 5-flucytosine during the course of treatment. All but two of our cases were diagnosed in New York City healthcare facilities, mostly in Brooklyn and Queens. One was diagnosed in Monroe County, which is Rochester, New York, which is in western New York. This person had been recently admitted to an involved New York City hospital, and because our New York City hospitals are on the lookout for this, we think we were able to narrowly avert an outbreak in that situation. Of somewhat more concern, one person was also diagnosed in Westchester County, which is a county just to the north of New York City, and this one had no obvious link to New York City facilities. We have tracked our clinical and screening case locations for 90 days before their first positive culture because it's very difficult in most cases to know where or when they acquired the organism. And we've found that our Cases have passed through 24 New York State hospitals, 25 nursing homes, one LTAC, one hospice, and a number of other locations. We have complete data on our environmental samples from 11 facilities, and we have found positive cultures in two of the five long-term care facilities that we've looked for, and three of six hospitals, typically from the near patient environment, some from outside patient rooms. Additionally, five of 39 samples in the one involved NICU were positive by PCR, although fortunately negative by culture, still concerning. Most of them were from the near patient environment, but we also had some positive equipment outside the patient's room. We've done a number of infection control assessments in facilities. We've identified opportunities missed for hand hygiene, problems with contact precautions, including confusion about signage and PPE, and PPE not being easily available. A number of problems with environmental cleaning, and suboptimal communication at transfer, which in a few cases has resulted in people not being on contact precautions after they were transferred. So our goals are to prevent transmission and further spread in affected facilities, and to prevent further spread to other facilities. We also want to define the extent of the problem, delay and blunt the impact of this organism in New York State and the U.S. Here's a timeline. You can see that both CDC and New York State DOH have issued several advisories. We've also had a couple of epi aids and had some webinars, including most recently a required webinar for New York City facilities. We currently have IMS activated. Our DOH leadership recently had a roundtable with healthcare leadership to discuss the problem, guidelines, infection control, and the overall CORIS response. I mentioned the required webinar for New York City hospitals and nursing homes, which happened on May 11th. We're also requiring New York City hospitals and nursing homes to do a self-assessment survey of their infection control practices. And a lot of our regulatory staff have been diverted from their usual activities to do on-site reviews of hospitals and nursing homes in Brooklyn and Queens, where we've seen most of our cases, to assess compliance with infection control requirements. So we don't know what's going to happen here. Maybe we'll continue to have this level of cases. Maybe they'll die out. Maybe they will slowly increase, or maybe they will increase exponentially, as we saw with CRE. We're all familiar with bacterial MDROs, but this is the first fungal MDRO, and I don't think any of us know yet exactly what's going to happen. Thank you.